2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
You're welcome again in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, you will not recover from what God is doing in your life in this season. Some of you have attended several meetings, you prayed, you fasted. But what the Lord is going to give you in this season is going to be a lasting experience. In the name of Jesus, it's going to be a lasting experience. You are not going to lose your healing anymore. You are going to be healed completely. In the name of Jesus, cancer is removed from your bloodline. Cancer is removed from your bloodline. And I'm speaking specifically to somebody here, to from your family line. God is removing cancer completely. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is removing cancer from your bloodline. The devil is a liar. Your cancer cannot stay in your body. In the name of Jesus. And every root of cancer dies now. Dies now. Dies now. It dies now. As I'm speaking, it begins to die. Every cancerous cell that is hibernating, waiting for 5 years, it dies now. It dies now in the name of Jesus. Cancer died in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's consider emotional and spiritual healing and your prophetic gift. Now, this is one of the areas I consider a great challenge. I don't know how to refer to this. It's like when you have something inhibiting your gift, or what I call blockers. You know, there are something they call blockers. You know, they block your ability to function in the prophetic. All right, you try your best. you have dreams, but there's something blocking you. I'm trying to find out the words, but they are like blockers. Something that has been introduced into your spirit or your soul, and you are not able to respond to the voice of God. Sometimes you are even struggling to discern the voice of God. I realize that inhibitors, yes, you know, your emotional state can create this challenge. And a lot of people do not know. And that's why a lot of prophetic people are very bitter people. A lot of prophetic people are very bitter and angry people. All right? When they talk to you, you can almost hear it. I was talking to a pastor. He's a prophet anyway. I was talking to a prophet several years ago, about probably like 7 years ago now, or eight. And he was telling me a story about how he almost destroyed somebody whom he prayed for. And I asked him, what happened, you know? And he said the lady had come to him. She had so many problems, and that she complained that her pastor neglected her and was not taking her serious. So he started praying with the lady, and then God answered that prayer, and the woman became so blessed. And then the lady invited him to, that she wanted to do a Thanksgiving in church to thank God for the miracles and deliverance. So, and he obliged her, like, okay, I want to go with you. And when it was time, the lady to share the testimony, the lady got up on the stage during the Thanksgiving, gave a very powerful testimony, and bought a brand new bus, 18-seater, for the church, where the pastor, according to her, neglected her. So when he saw what the woman did, it's like, God, if the woman could do this for the church that abandoned her, what will she do for me? You know? So he was so happy. After the service, the woman gave him an envelope. The envelope was so flat, he told himself, he said, this thing, there's a check inside. There's a check that is going to be a lot of money. But by the time he moved away from the church, he opened the envelope. I think he found, is it 3,000 naira or 10,000, something very, very meager, you know. He became very upset. Like, how people are wicked, though. Like, okay, yes, I didn't charge you, but I mean, for Christ's sake, I stood with you all through, and then you decided to go and buy a bus for the pastor who neglected you, and you abandoned me here. 3,000, 10,000. What am I going to do with this? So he told himself he will start another fast to destroy that woman's business. Now, the prophet here was talking to me. I'm not telling you reporter speech. He was telling me what happened. So he said he was so angry that with the same mouth I blessed you, I'm going to bring you down. Now, that's a very bitter prophet. He's not emotionally healthy. That prophet is not emotionally healthy, but he doesn't know. So he said he started the fast. And while he was fasting, the Lord came to him and asked him, what are you doing? he said he needs vengeance, that God should come and avenge him. He said the Lord told him, go and eat. he said the Lord told him, go and eat now. He said, no, that he wants to show that woman that there's oil on his head, there's anointing. God told him, say, go and eat. He said, so what are you going to gain? Somebody you blessed, you now want to destroy. So the Lord now told that man of God, he said, go and eat. I will send somebody else to you. And a few days later, somebody called him and gave him 250,000. All right. So this is serious stuff here. Many people are unable to function at the level of prophetic anointing they should be functioning in because emotionally they are sick. The state of your mind and your emotions, your imagination, your memory is critical to your prophetic journey. Most people will say, oh, Pastor, I don't know why. I'm not sure if it's God talking to me. It is in the soul. You have to settle those things once and for all. Because and the reason why this is important is that the revelations you receive from the Holy Spirit will have to flow through your spirit into your mind. So what the devil tries to do is to contaminate your mind in order to shut down or contaminate your gift. Many prophets, young prophets, are powerfully anointed and gifted by the Holy Spirit, but they are worried why they are unable to develop and progress in the prophetic. But a major part of this is rooted in the emotional warfare and battles that they are fighting. Sometimes you are not even aware that you are fighting any battle. Sometimes. So I want to draw your attention to this. All right? If a person is emotionally sick, one of the things you will find is you'll be having difficulty hearing God. And even when you are hearing God, you are not sure. But there's a third aspect to this matter is that you may be hearing familiar spirit. One of my friends told me the story of a particular person, you know, last year, who God has been talking to, according to her, that she's going to die on this particular day. I think it was supposed to be January last month. And my friend has tried to help this lady to explain to her that the voice you are hearing is not of God. But the lady will have none of it. And these are some of the reasons why I always talk about being part of a prophetic community. Be careful about prophets who are lone rangers. Be careful. Because they can lead. Can you imagine somebody for over a year? She's very depressed. And that's like a psychological condition. And all she believes that the Lord has told her she's going to die. And she's ready. She's ready. She's even tired of this world. She wants to die. All right? So these are people who live around us. You just see them at the office. You see them at the bank. And when you hear such a thing, somebody is very sick, very sad. Now, it's one thing for you not to be able to discern the voice of God. It's another thing when you start hearing familiar spirits masquerading as God. It's a dangerous level because something is controlling you. And if you are here, you have that kind of problem, I need you to pray very well. Now, just as you can be physically ill in your body, you can also be sick in your mind and spirit. The book of Proverbs tells us, a wounded spirit, who can bear? It is possible for your spirit to be wounded in battle. A wounded spirit, who can bear? This is the reason why you must be on fire for God. Don't be excited when you can't pray. Be concerned. Don't be excited when you can't study the word of God and you are being blessed by it. Be concerned. Listen to me. King Saul was anointed and he became king. But Saul was afflicted in his mind and he was filled with a murderous spirit. And he almost tried to kill David. His head was anointed, but his mind was filled with devils. That's why Paul would tell us, let two or three prophesy and let others judge. Because sometimes we need to know, maybe the reason why you are prophesying is because you had an argument with your husband this morning before coming to church. Or you had a fight with somebody at the office. We have seen people who try to use prophecy to manipulate innocent people in church. So you have to be careful. Your emotional state, if you are not, sometimes you are just not in a good mood. So that's not the best time to hold the microphone. Let somebody else preach. All right? For instance, since we started this program, if you take out, we have two services in church. So I preach in the two services. Then the prophetic school, I'm preaching 20 times because we're having two sessions per day. All right? So possibly after this prophetic school, I might take a break and rest. Because many times Satan tries to afflict us because we are overworking. When I'm speaking to you here, virtue is going out. All right? So you can imagine sharing the gospel 2 hours every day. So if you say 6 days in a week, that's about 12 hours. If you are looking at another week, that's about 24 hours. It's taking its toll on the body. Even if I were to say, let me go and sleep now, I most likely will not get enough rest because I am speaking to you from my spirit and it's taking a toll on my body. So if I'm not careful, Satan may take advantage of me because of the stress and the drain upon my body. I could become more cranky, difficult, argumentative, problematic. So you need to give attention to yourself. As a prophetic voice, know when you should not even be talking. Because sometimes your emotional state is warped up, messed up because of the work you are doing for God. All right, don't be like Saul, who was anointed, but tried to kill another person. He tried to kill David. If you are having a moment emotionally, that won't be the best time to attempt to prophesy to anybody, because your emotions will play that red card in your prophecy. If your fiancé or your fiance, you attend the same church and you broke up, and everybody knows that you have the gift of prophecy, you now decide to prophesy during the service, and you are raining judgment upon the enemies of the church. People that are in the church but trying to bring down the church of God from inside. People who go about proposing to two or three sisters at the same time. You are doing all of that. Before you know it, you will be prophesying against that young man who ran away. Anybody can make that mistake. That's what I'm telling you. You have to be very careful. So you need to be cautious. Before you open your mouth and speak, you need to ask yourself, am I in the state where I can speak without bias? You need to be able to separate your emotions from the will of God. Your emotions are not always reflective of the will of God. Just because you like to relocate to Australia does not mean that is God's will. God's will might be Iraq or Spain or Lagos, Nigeria or Sokoto State. I know nobody will say amen to Sokoto State, but it's okay. I'm just saying God has an opinion. He has his own mind about everything. Don't confuse your emotions for the will of God. The moment your emotions are locked into something, you may begin to struggle with discerning the will of God, and you will need help. If you have been raped or attempted, you've experienced an attempted rape, or you've been abused as a child, or you are abused psychologically by your pastor, you need healing, because those things affect your spirit and your emotional state. Don't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. Don't say it doesn't matter. If you have been abused, somebody in church said something to you, maybe a pastor or another senior person just say, what's wrong with her? She's always going up and down. She won't sit down. She won't settle down in one place. And she's not even mature spiritually. And then you heard it, like, you become very shocked. When I first prophesied and that woman joined me, I was hurt. But I just told myself, I won't let it get to me. Today, more than 20 years later, I'm still prophesying. The other brother is somewhere in the north, working as a medical doctor. Be careful, protect your mind. It is possible for your soul to be sick. It is possible for your spirit to be sick. When your spirit is sick, you will notice you can't pray again. You will notice that when you open the scriptures, you are not getting anything. It's just like when a child is sick and he doesn't feel like eating. You become withdrawn. When a person withdraws from Christian fellowship, oh, I will join online. It is a sign of you are already showing signs that something is wrong. Except if for some reason you cannot be in church. Be there. Be there. Because it's a direct instruction not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together. It's a direct instruction. So when you begin to see things like you wake up in the night, you are just checking TikTok, you are not that you are praying, no, you are just checking TikTok and you are always doing it, then you are always staying up to talk to one guy over the phone till like 1 a.m. It is possible for your spirit to be sick. A prophet can become a bully if he doesn't manage his emotional state. A prophet can become a bully if he doesn't manage his emotional state. You may be married or be engaged to a particular prophet. Before you know it, everything you are saying, maybe you are planning your wedding, and everything you are saying is that, no, that's not what God wants. Oh, no. What the Lord told me is that we should use pink as the color for the bride. Excuse me. Your wedding is just one day. Why on earth do you think God would care if you are wearing black or white? You see, the fact that you are weaponizing thus hear the Lord, you may find yourself in a dangerous place and nobody will be able to help you. Before you know it, you begin to manipulate people, begin to control them, and you are, nobody wants to challenge you, because before they say anything, you are going to say, this is not what God told me. If you come to me and say, God told me, I will not argue with you. I will leave you. Even though I know that you are about to get punished. Because without praying, I already know that's not God that said that thing. But I will leave you. Because I cannot argue with somebody who says, God says. I will leave you. Maybe your case will become a learning experience, or it will become a testimony. But very soon we'll find out. Don't become a bully. It is not healthy to always have your way with your husband by simply saying, the Lord said. And most of the people saying this thing, they don't have one kobo, they don't have $1 in their account, they don't have money, but God is always telling them strange things. I've seen people who almost destroyed their marriage because of any small thing. That's not what God said. Every small thing. And the husband is like, I'm also a Christian. I'm also a Christian. Stop playing this card. Don't be a bully. You are manipulating me. It's a sign that you need help. Unfortunately, most people in this category don't even realize that they need help until things become too late. An unstable prophet will create a lot of mess and will eventually become bitter, or even labeled a false prophet if he doesn't get help quickly. If you are not stable emotionally, you are going to create a lot of problems for people. You will tell somebody that his wife is a witch. You will tell somebody that his mother is a witch. For Christ's sake, how is that supposed to help anybody? I prayed for a particular brother whose mother was a witch and she had confessed. But while I prayed for him to be delivered, because the witch, the coven, they wanted to kill him, and they've sent the message, and the boy has started, having a lot of accidents on the road. While he was going through all of that and I was praying for him, our prayer for the mom was that before she dies, she had to give her life to Christ. And God honored that prayer. The day before she died on her sickbed, the Lord sent an evangelist who was just walking across the road to go into this house and pray for the woman that was on the sickbed. And he went in and prayed with her and she said the sinner's prayer and she died. There's a way you can tell somebody your something is wrong with you. And the person will be telling you thank you. Don't bully people, because the truth of the matter, we are all God's children. Nobody's going to want to be your friend. Nobody's going to want to hang around you if they always feel uncomfortable, like they have to walk on eggshells, because God will likely say something. Meanwhile, it's not God. Because when you listen to these people, you just realize this is not God. So if you are an unstable prophet, if you are an unmarried person, but you are prophetic, and the lady is threatening to leave you, it's not the best time to go on the altar, on the stage, and be praying for people who need husbands and wives. Because before you know it, Satan will take advantage of you. Your emotions, your will, your imagination, All these things should be consecrated to God in worship. Because when these things are not dedicated to God, and they don't serve the purpose of God, they can become very open to high-risk activities. Satan can take, you know, advantage of you. Elisha inherited the anointing upon a particular man of God, upon Elijah. The first assignment he did, he fulfilled, was to kill 42 children. Because, you know, you inherit both the good and the bad. Elijah was a very temperamental person. And let us stop exonerating people who call themselves prophets who have anger issues. Let's stop telling them, the reason why he's doing that, he's always angry, is because he's a prophet. No, sir, you are carnal. You are carnal. Oh, you know, prophets in the Bible, they are always very angry. They are always screaming. That's why pastor is... No. Elijah had a weakness. Let us face it. Elijah had a weakness. Elijah had a weakness. God bless you, Rosa. Elijah had a weakness. And unfortunately, Elisha picked it up. Elijah killed people at will. Elijah caused fire at will. Elijah called fire from heaven upon the sacrifice. He didn't lead the 400 prophets to come and to be restored to God. He killed them. And God didn't blame him. It does not mean if those 400 prophets had knelt and said, please, we want to serve your God, that God would not have accepted them. But Elijah wiped out. I'm not saying what he did is wrong. I'm just saying your temperament will always play out in the way your anointing flows. And that's why for those who are familiar with me when I minister, most times you will notice I can be cracking joke and I'll be prophesying. Because by nature, I tend to be on the funny side. So being funny doesn't affect my anointing. In fact, sometimes it helps it. I don't like it that I'm laughing and playing with people and I'm prophesying, but it works. I've tried to change it. It didn't work. Your personality will play out. Elisha killed 42 children. He made 42 mothers weep. And yet God did not. Did you notice after then that Elisha became a very quiet person? If you know the story of Elisha, go and check. After that first incident where 42 children died, you will notice Elisha became more of a family, homely person. He wasn't fighting anybody. He was more relatable. People could relate with him than they did with Elijah. If you are struggling with forgiveness, with unforgiveness, if you don't deal with it, it will affect your gift. If you have been abused and you just put it under the carpet and you did not ask the Lord to help you and bring you deliverance, most times you may even need someone to pray for you. Or maybe if you've been abused, your husband has abused you or hit you or beat you or did something that was nasty and you kept it under the carpet, if you are prophetically inclined, that thing can block your gift. And you'll be struggling. Or you will only be having nightmares. Somebody that used to have revelations from God will start having only nightmares. So if you are here and you've been having nightmares consistently, I want you to really take, before you start praying, try to look back. What is going on with my regular life that could be off? Something I need to address. Somebody will say, if you are light skinned as a brother, I cannot marry you. If the Lord's will is for you to marry somebody who is light skinned, you've already put yourself out of the will of God. And I told you guys during this meeting when we started that for you to be accurate, delete that. There's this thing we call the permissive will of God. Delete it. Have only two things: the will of God and when somebody is outside the will of God. If you create that permissive will, you've given yourself a leeway not to be committed to the mandate of God over your life. If the Lord is calling you to the ministry, He's calling you. Don't try to explain and find a soft landing, because that permissive will of God is a dangerous place to be. And if some people have been there for years, they don't even know what it means to be in the will of God again. Don't let Satan take control of your soul. Because once Satan takes control of your soul, he will begin to control your perspective to everything. There was a particular, and I could tell you story upon stories. I could tell you stories upon stories, and I don't want you to be deceived. Have you seen anybody? Have you tried preaching to somebody who has been in the church for years before they left? Have you seen how difficult it is to preach to somebody who knows the Bible? A lot of people are not healthy. They cover up for it by wasting their time or spending too much time on Facebook and all the social media platforms. Sometimes some of them even try to Christianize it and say, oh, I'm trying to be a blessing to people. No, you may be trying to be a blessing to people, but are you secretly looking for validation? Please hear me. There's nothing wrong with posting things on Twitter. I'm saying, but somewhere in your mind, are you wishing for validation? If that test or appetite for public validation is there and it is very strong, it can put you in a very uncomfortable position, because the day you prophesy or you try to do something and nobody recognizes you, you can become offended. So as a prophet, when you minister, don't expect any thank you. Don't expect any praises. Don't expect any appreciation from anybody. Just do your thing and go away. You might even give your husband a prophetic word that you, maybe a dream, you shared a dream you had with him, and that thing later blessed him. And your husband did not even bother to come and say, thank you, dear, for what you shared with me. It was really helpful. Because most husbands sometimes, they believe it's their right. So don't allow yourself to be held bound by the need for public validation. If you get it, fine. If you take it with a pinch of salt. Because if you are really desiring this thing, there's a very unhealthy aspect that you get to, and you can become very bitter if you are not getting that validation. You must not forget that Satan's strategy is to make every other person look wrong, and you are the only right person. The moment he gets you in that place, he will isolate you, and then he will seek to destroy you. Now, let me also add this. The type of dreams you are always having can reveal a lot about your emotional state. The type of dreams you have when you sleep can tell you a lot about your emotional state. And I want you to please note that somewhere. All right. Now, because you are prophetically gifted, many prophetically gifted people will face emotional battles, very intense battles. You could be happy now. Under 5 minutes, you could notice you are not excited. You are just, you are just withdrawn, or you don't want to talk to anybody. Many times, these things are direct feedbacks from the prayers and the battles you have been, fighting. You are going to have battles from your family members. Much of what you'll be dealing with will be things like, this thing is uncalled for. It's not necessary. But I want to prepare you, because a lot of prophetic people don't understand why they are battling with depression. A lot of prophets behave like mad people. The Bible says, who is mad but my prophet? Because you just wonder, like, you are blessing people, you are doing something, nobody even bothers to ask the prophet, how are you doing today? How are you doing today? There was a particular prophet at, was it Ede? There's a town in the southwest Nigeria, Ede. There used to be a pastor in that church before that prophet got there. And the pastor was doing a fantastic job until they began to gang up against him. So they had to transfer him, and they brought another prophet. This prophet is a much elderly person. And he doesn't, somebody said my tongue, he doesn't play with money. So the prophet, if you wanted to travel and you come to him and say, Daddy, I would like to travel, can you pray for me? The prophet will ask you, do you have proper home training? Why will you come before God's servant empty-handed? The prophet will ask you. You know the other pastor that was there, he wasn't taking anything from them. He was always praying, always praying, always praying, always praying. But they didn't appreciate him. Now the one that has come, he said, I will teach you what your former pastor did not teach you. Go outside, go and buy something, then come back. You now see them, people now started opening shops, business center, outside the church gate, selling oranges, selling biscuits, selling rice and other things, because the prophet is not playing. I'm not here to play. So you got to, you know, get it right. They will come, Daddy, we are so sorry. They will bring granite oil and Indomie, a packet of carton of cereal. Kneel down. Somebody say this one is a dangerous anointing. And then you will pray for them. As you are traveling, you will meet with favor. You come back safely. Amen. Amen. Go. So the man was just enjoying himself. Sometimes you have people in your life. Some of you have relationships. You are close to people that don't place any demand on you. You don't know the value of those relationships until you go elsewhere. And then they tell you, say, I want to see the pastor. They say, your pastor cannot see anybody. Go and see the head usher. That's the day you will know what it means to have access to one man of God. Eventually, the thing became a very big problem. So they called the pastor, that elderly man, to a council to address some of the concerns, in the church. Unfortunately, nobody knew that this elderly pastor was also into occultism. Nobody knew, because they just felt, it's a father figure. Nobody ever suspected it, that he was into occultism. So when they called him, they accused him of so many things. The man just sat there, he was looking at them. So they asked him for his comment, and he stood up. And he said, is this why you all called me here today? They said, yes. He said, am I the one you are sure? Are you sure you are supposed to be here right now? They said, yes, sir. And you want me to answer? He said, yes. Then he put his hand into his cassock. He was about to bring out a charm made from the horn of a cow. A big charm with some red clothes wrapped around it. He went about with those things, but nobody ever suspected him. He said, you people are still here. You are still asking me to respond. They say yes. And he put his hand in his pocket. Do you people want to go home? Do you want to take the door? They said, no. Answer us today. We want to settle this issue. He put his hand in his pocket, brought out a live charm and tapped it 3 times. Everybody scattered. Everybody took off. The door was there. They were all taking the windows. Nobody could dare take the door, because if he calls your name, that charm will just bring you back. Unhealthy people. This is amazing. But it happened in Osun. I think Eder should be in Osun State. So you have to be careful. Don't allow somebody who is unhappy with his life lay hands on you. Don't allow somebody who is always complaining to pray for you. It's just wisdom. Symptoms or things you find when you are emotionally sick, you find depression. When we say somebody is emotionally sick, we are talking about things like rejection. We are talking about depression, rejection, insecurity, suicidal thoughts, condemnation, loneliness, low self-esteem, self-hatred, identity crisis, repetitive sin. That's about it. Satan will tell you are not worthy, that God can't use somebody like you. He will be using your emotions against you. He tells you won't be able to walk with God. Satan tells you there's nobody that can walk with God without making mistake. And that why are you stressing yourself? You can never satisfy God. Satan will be telling you. And he will be showing you examples of people you know who tried to follow God and they couldn't keep up. But God didn't ask us to keep up. God asked us to walk by faith. Satan will make people around you attack you emotionally. And then he will push you to respond. The moment you respond, there's no going back. It's not every battle you should fight. Satan can give you a self-righteous attitude. These other people, they think they know God, they are trying, but there are some things they don't know. You are saying it in your mind that, this person is trying to follow God, but, you know, he's still a small boy. Everybody around you is small. Everybody around you is yet to know something except you. That is one of the symptoms I look for, especially among men of God. If I begin to tell you my personal life, I look for that thing. Because a lot of men of God believe every other person is below them. They believe they are not, you know, they are nothing. And they treat you that way. They may not even know it, but the thing has a particular scent. If you are sensitive, you will know that this person doesn't consider you an equal. So why are you hanging around people that make you feel less than yourself? Some of them feel you are not as good, you are not good enough, you are very small, but they want to collect money from you. They want you to bring your car to take them to their next trip. Maybe they want to travel for administration. They want you to do things for them, but in their mind, you are not matured. So why are you spending your time there? A lot of people have been abused in the church in the name of all these prophets, and the way they have been treated. So if the prophets hear what I'm telling now, they will be very angry with me because nobody wants people to know this. But I have to tell you. All right? You must watch out for things like depression. Now, when you notice that you are experiencing depression, rejection, low self-esteem, self-hatred, etc., what are the things you need to do? Number one, you need to begin to renew your mind with the Word of God. Tell yourself, I am anointed. I am anointed. God chose me for a reason. God did not take permission from anybody before placing his anointing over my life. Tell yourself that there is a reason. There is something God saw in me when he called me. Don't let people's validation push you down and reduce you to... Because the moment you see yourself as grasshopper, it is game over. Tell yourself, I'm anointed. I may not be where I want to be, but I am chosen, I am called, I am faithful, I am anointed, and God saw something in me before he chose me. I may not even be seeing that thing yet, but I am God's choice. You need to tell yourself you are God's choice. You need to begin to renew your mind with the Word of God, which was the first task the angel had to undertake before bringing Gideon into his ministry. He's a mighty man of valor, but Gideon never saw himself in that regard. Number two, to be free from some of these emotional sicknesses, you need to come to the place of repentance. Repentance because you have been listening to the devil for a long time. There are women who did abortions or did something wrong, and their husband knew about it, and is always hanging that thing over their head. That guilt. Maybe you did something as a brother and your wife is still hanging that thing over your head, or your sisters, or your brothers. My brother, go and repent before the Lord. And if you have done that, there shall be no condemnation to any man who is in Christ Jesus. So I've mentioned two things now. Number one is repentance. Number two is the renewing of the mind. You have to take your Bible and see what God's word says about you. Sometimes you just wonder, why is it that I can't really, some people have this challenge, they can't really start any project and complete it. They're always leaving their projects, you know, half completed, you know, and they're always concerned, oh, maybe I'm not so smart, maybe I'm not so brilliant. Don't let the devil put you in that point. If he pushes you there, it's game over. Because even if an angel comes down, if an angel comes down to tell you that you are God's anointed, you will not believe. Because already you have seen yourself as grasshoppers. Number three, continue to bring your mind under the intense covering of prayers. Every time you notice that you are relapsing, begin to pray. Every time you make a mistake, you notice it's like this thing wants to happen again. Don't take it. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. I'm telling you how to be emotionally whole and complete. You are going to repent. You are going to renew your mind. Then you will continue to cover your mind with prayers, with prayers, with prayers. For God has not given the spirit of fear, but has given me the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. You begin to speak scriptures. You begin to cover your mind. I am not weak mentally. I am able to hold this conversation. Maybe you are going to be doing a presentation at the office and all eyes will be on you. I receive and I have the spirit of wisdom because Christ has become to me the power and the wisdom of God. You begin to speak over my mind. Cover your mind. Don't let that emotional pressure swallow you. All right? Break every emotional attachment, soul ties, and mental torture over your mind. Break, this is another point. Break every emotional attachment, soul ties, mental tortures over your mind. Very important. All right? This one will happen in the place of prayer. Stop torturing yourself. These things like this will shut down your gift. Learn to forgive yourself. Break any unnecessary emotional attachment or soul tie. And a lot of people don't know that you can have a soul tie with somebody just by looking into their eyes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just by looking into the person's eyes, you can develop this, and it may take you days before you can break it off. So you have to be careful. Know yourself. Break every soul tie, mental torture. And please let me say this as we round up. To detect some of the emotional issues in your mind, in your imagination, because for some people, they have pictures, videos stored in their mind that need to be deleted. So you need to pray and ask God to wipe your memory out. All those pictures, whatever it is that represents pain and torture, you need to ask the Lord to take it away. This is one of the reasons I've spoken to people who many times are struggling in their marriages or don't want to get married because they have some images in their head that will not allow them. The Lord will help us. So you need to take your time and analyze the situation around you. Before you even begin to pray, analyze the situation around you. And then you will now know how to pray. I pray for everyone here that is under some form of emotional torture. In the name of Jesus, let the hands of Satan be broken completely. Everyone who has gone through some form of pain, emotional abuse, have gone through certain things, you know, probably at the workplace or in your family that is affecting you mentally, hindering you from entering into the fullness of God's plans for your life. May the hand of God cause those things to be broken right now. In the name of Jesus, every stronghold, every thought pattern that is holding you back, telling you you will not make it to the other side, in the name of Jesus, we command it to be broken. In the name of Jesus. You know, before I got married, I never thought I could stay married because I'm not really a very stable person. So I never thought. You see, but those things were there. They were coming like quiet thoughts as a young boy that, you know, you won't be able to stay married for long until the Lord gave me the key out of that situation. I pray for you, every thought that is holding you captive, from fulfilling your destiny, fulfilling your ministry, today we wipe it out. We administer the blood of Jesus, and I declare that your mind is free. Your soul is free. You have escaped from the snare, like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. You are set free. You gain control over your mind, and you are able to think on the thoughts that are pure, and that are holy, and that are of good report. In the name of Jesus, you are a success. In the name of Jesus, and you will never be held bound again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.